Mr. Chairman, we're ready to go whenever you are.
Okay, well, I'll call the meeting to order, and I guess we need to have a roll call, please.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Mr. Cuddy?
Here.
Mr. Alberti?
Here.
Chairman Chase? Chairman Chase?
Yes.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Raybould?
Yes.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Here.
Mr. Graham?
Here.
And Mr. Barker?
Yes.
We have 8.
Okay, you have a quorum.
Okay, Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, the first and major item on, I think only item on the agenda today is discussion of the proposed legislative amendments to the state water plan. And I'll ask Clive to chime in here at any point as well. I think all of you know at this point, over the past several days, during the last week in February, a panel of legislators from the House Resources and Conservation Committee met and drafted proposed amendments to the state water plan that was submitted by the board. And in fact, a new House bill, House Bill 247, has been introduced, which would approve the state water plan with those proposed amendments. Overall, I think the themes within the proposed amendments, there's some overarching themes. One related to funding and staffing. They removed discussion about implementation strategies related to funding or that would have impact on staffing allocations. They added some language that would place greater emphasis on incidental recharge and in fact added an implementation strategy requiring the quantification of benefit from incidental recharge. And then maybe the third overarching theme relates to fishery, environment, and ESA issues, and they removed several discussions and implementation strategies related to cooperation on aquatic species objectives and refocused much of that language toward a very strict definition of meeting minimum stream flow water rights. In addition, they are proposing to delete two policies from the state water plan as submitted by the board. Policy 2E, riparian habitat and wetlands, and policy 3G, climate variability. I have, Helen and I, with Clive's help, did prepare a two-page memo that attempts to summarize those proposed amendments. Also, along with your materials, you did get a copy of House Bill 247, as well as a copy of the strike and underline proposed amendments to the state water plan that they are proposing. With that, I'm going to ask Clive to chime in and see if he has any further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I asked Brian to send out to you a copy of the 1996 state water plan, a link to it, and hopefully you have that, because what I'm going to do is comment on it. Looking at the broader issues that are going on in the committee, one of the big issues, it seems to be the primary issue, is the use of the word in-stream flow in the state water plan versus use of minimum stream flow. And that occurs in two sections. It's primarily in two sections, Section 2C and Section 6B. And I think it's important to look at Section 2C and compare that to the 1996 state water plan. And in that, it's on page 9, Policy 3A. You will see that in the 1996 plan, the one that's currently effective and was approved by the legislature, the term in-stream flow was used. And in fact, it specifically says as a policy of the state of Idaho that when it is in the public interest, the Idaho Water Resource Board should seek to appropriate waters in the state for in-stream flow purposes. Compare that now to Policy 2C on page 27 of the 2012 plan, which specifically calls out minimum stream flow. And that seems to be the kind of crux of the problem that's going on, is that they haven't compared the two plans. And when you compare the two plans, in fact, the current plan is more clear that when we use the word in-stream flow, we're referring to minimum stream flows. In fact, that linkage is directly made in policy 2C. And so to the extent that they have a concern, policy 2C, I think, addresses that if they compare those two policies. Then turning to policy 6B, which appears on page 72 of your plan, and then compare that, policy 6B is a new policy. It uses the words in-stream flow program. And the concern was that the use of the word in-stream flow program could somehow denominate something more than minimum stream flows. But again, what I would direct you to here is that in 1996, there is no comparable provision. But in contrast, this provision is an implementation of the 2004 Snake River Water Rights Agreement, which was approved by the legislature in 2005. And in the 2004 Snake River Water Rights Agreement and the Salmon Clearwater component, it specifically states, and I'm trying to find it here. Okay, instrument flows. Moving down next page. Ah, okay, here it is. The state agrees to do three things. One, provide 6 months advance notes. Still don't have rack provision. I've got to find it here. I'm missing, I had it all of a sudden and lost it. Oh, here it is. It's in on page, it's on the Salmon Clearwater component. It specifically says the state of Idaho will implement a Salmon Clearwater Habitat Management and Restoration Initiative for the conservation and restoration of habitat within the Salmon and Clearwater River basins. The initiative will consist of three components. One, in-stream flow program. Two, forest practices program. And three, a habitat restoration program. So 6B is simply an implementation of the program that was approved by the legislature in 2005, which consisted of the in-stream flow program. That in-stream flow program is defined by the terms and conditions of the Snake River Water Rights Agreement. So to the extent that there's concern that there's some creep going on there, it's specifically defined by that provision. So I think by making that clarification to the committee, a lot of the concerns with regard to the use of the word in-stream flow could be resolved. Turning next to the second set of concerns.
Claude, could I just ask, is there something that we could point to the legislature in 2C that, in the current version of 2C, to reassure them that the board intends to rely upon the minimum stream flow program as the primary component of implementing both the in-stream flow process?
Absolutely. Look at the box. The box says, Idaho Water Resource Board will exercise its authority to establish and protect minimum stream flow water rights on those water bodies where it is in the public interest.
So I think the point that needs to be made to the legislature is the policy is what is there in 2C.
That's correct.
That's what the board is going to try and accomplish, is that policy. Discussion is
just clarification or defining.
But this box, the policy itself, makes it clear that the board is going to use the established statutory authority given to it by the legislature to protect minimum stream flows.
And that's the point that I was making. I think it's even clearer than 1996, which is where we were making it. We just used the word in-stream flow. So I think comparing and contrasting those two provisions demonstrates the board's commitment to the minimum stream flow program.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I guess I wonder if it seems to me that the main thing I've been hearing from legislators is on this point. And it seems like they believe that using the word in-stream flow as opposed to minimum stream flow somehow is an attempt to expand the board's authority or create a program that doesn't already exist. And I guess I wonder how, if we can communicate what Clive just said to the legislature in some fashion so that they don't feel the need to tinker with the language, to reassure them that what their concerns are the same concerns that the board has, and we do intend to follow the law and use the minimum stream flow program.
Well, that's essentially where I was going, Al, is it seems to me that if you compare these two provisions, what you're doing is the board through the 2012 plan is making it even more clear than it was in 96 that it is committed to the minimum stream flow program.
Right, and so, but I understand that, Clive, and I agree with you. I'm just asking, is there a way we ought to communicate that fact to the legislature instead of just saying?
Roger, I would assume that my preference would be that we would have Clive just do that at the meeting, unless we need to notify him ahead of time with some type of description. What do you think, Clive?
Well, my recommendation would be a little different. My recommendation would be the chair or a member of the board make that representation, because you're the ones that have that authority, the policy-making authority. And my sense would be to take these two provisions, show them to the legislature, show them what the commitment of the board has been, and make that verbal statement that this is a reaffirmation of the board's commitment to the minimum stream flow program. Likewise, I would take policy 6B and say 6B is simply a reaffirmation of what the legislature has directed us to do, which is to implement the in-stream flow program of the 2004 Snake River Water Rights Agreement. Nothing more, nothing less. So then you've got both of them tied back to the concern that you're working within the existing program.
And the legislative direction that we've received.
Correct.
You know, I'll be there to testify, so I have no problem doing that if the board's comfortable with that. Or somebody else on the board can do it if they want to do it.
You've got my blessing, Roger, this bird.
You're the man.
Roger, this is Pete, and I'm good with it. I have no problem with providing explanations of what our position is, but I would have a problem with reopening negotiations. Other thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bob. It strikes me that over the past years when we have been discussing minimum stream flows and in-stream flows, that the consensus that we came up with was that they basically mean the same thing and are interpreted as meaning the same goal. If that is the case, maybe we should be trying to eliminate one of those two terms. The use of one of those two terms.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Graham, my response to you would be the term, when we're talking specifically about what the board does, should be minimum stream flow, because it's the minimum stream flow water rights statute that controls. The dilemma that you run into is that minimum stream flow and in-stream flow can mean the same thing, but oftentimes the word in-stream flow is used to talk about a use. For instance, in the Swan Falls Agreement, when we're talking, and you can go back and even look at the 4217-1736A, I believe it was, which created the in-stream flows on the Snake River, they specifically use those terms interchangeably because they're looking at preserving values, hydropower, aquatic uses, those kind of things. And so you have to look at the way, the context in which the term is used in order to define what it means. But at the end of the day, I think Al's point is the correct one. You look at the box. What does the box say? That's the policy. That's what you're implementing. So that defines what the board is going to do. And so we could each craft the agreement, and I think Mr. Simanko's made the point, we could each craft the agreement differently and use different words, but at the end of the day, you have to look at the full context, not an individual word, to get to the meaning of that section. And I think the meaning of this section is clearly defined, and I would submit to you that if you go through and you do a comparison of the concerns that have been raised with the current plan versus the 1996 plan, you will find that, in fact, the 2012 plan is more responsive to the concerns that are raised than the 1996 plan was. For example, let me just run through them quickly for you. In the 1996 plan and policy 3D at page 11, it has no mention, it talks about riparian habitat, but it has no mention of voluntary programs. Policy 2E on page 29 of the 2012 plan specifically calls out that this policy is to be implemented through voluntary actions. Climate variability. Again, 1996 plan at policy 2D, page 9, it specifically has pretty much the same language or content of the language that we have in policy 3G at page 40. Both of them aren't taking a position with regard to the cause and effect of climate variability, which has been the issue. Instead, what they're noting is the factual circumstances that we're confronting today, that we are seeing a change in the hydrology of the system. We're seeing less snowpack, more rain. Those are management concerns that need to be addressed, and to take them out of the plan then suggests that we're going to ignore that change, which is going to ultimately affect the water supply patterns. And so I think doing that helps explain the context of the policy and what it's used for. Likewise, with funding, in policy 4H, page 15 of the 1996 plan, it talks about the broad array of funding options that are available and talks about the need to explore other options. Policy 3D on page 37 of the 2012 plan has essentially the same content. And then finally, the recharge issue, which has been a point of issue, is very abbreviated in the 1996 plan at policy 1J at page 7. When you compare that to policy 1L, page 15 of the 2012 plan, what you see is a mention of incidental recharge and need to look at that where it wasn't even mentioned in the prior plan. So each of the concerns seem to me to be more addressed implementation aspects as opposed to substantive differences. And I think a large part of the problem is the volume of information and the lack of familiarity of people with the plan has led to this kind of confusion. And I think a presentation that goes through and kind of draws those points out to help compare and contrast puts the board in a position of saying, listen, we've got a good plan, we've got general support for the plan, let's go forward with the plan, and we can continue to work with the legislature if need be to look at modifications or adjustments to the plan. But overall, the concerns are largely addressed in the existing plan more so than they were in the 1996 plan.
Clive, I agree with that, and I particularly agree with, I think, what Peter was recommending, that we absolutely not open up any changes between now and tomorrow night.
Any other comments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff. I guess my question is what is the format for the committee hearing tomorrow? Are they taking up these proposed amendments? Are they going to compare our plan to the amended plan? How are they going to lay all this out in front of the Resource Committee tomorrow?
Both of them are noticed up on the agenda, so both bills will be before the committee. The committee has had the benefit of a full hearing on the board's plan, so it seems to me that the real issue is focusing in on what the concerns are, and so maybe doing a comparison and contrast, just kind of the way I did, would be the most appropriate way for the board to at least inform the legislature about what your viewpoint is with regard to the proposed amendments, whatever that may be.
Clive, I would suspect if we could get that one, do that first, then the chairman has the opportunity of, with unanimous consent, determine which bill he would consider first. And if we could get Chairman Denny to do House Bill 38 first after this explanation, I think we've got a possibility we could win that.
Well, that sounds like a plan of action then, that we would try to get that discussed first, that I would be there to make a statement about what Clive has just talked about. I will get up there in time so that we can have some type of brief, staff can have some type of brief, sorry, staff, that I can work off of. But you don't want me just speaking off the top of my head anyway, probably, but do something like that makes a lot of sense to me if everybody's okay with that.
Mr. Chairman, Al Barker, I think it would also be useful to, the other general concern I had is why is the board mucking around in environmental issues at all and trying to draw a distinction between water policy.
Hey, Al, we can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. What I was saying is that some of the concern I've heard from the legislature is, why is the board having anything in here with environmental policies? And we want to draw a clear distinction between water and environmental issues. I don't know that you can actually do that. But nevertheless, the legislature has already directed the board in the statutes to consider the impacts both on both in the, is it 1734, right, and in 1735, 36. And I think it would be good to have those references so that we're simply, we're doing what the legislature told us to do in the first place. And if you take it out, we're not complying with the requirements of the state water plan statutes that have been in place for decades. And that we ought to at least have some references to that. And if Clive can get that ready, or Brian, we can, it would be good to make that known to the legislature, or at least to the group of legislators who are asking those questions.
You okay with that, Clive?
Makes
Brian?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, Roger, Clive and I and Helen will put something together today for you to present tomorrow at the hearing.
Any other discussion?
Chairman, this is Bert Stevenson. Peter, is there a chance that you could give Steve Miller a call? I talked to Steve last night, and I think he's coming our way, but I'm not sure he's there yet.
All right. Yeah, I will, Bert. I'll try and get a hold of him this evening. Do you have a number for him?
I do. 358-1121.
358-1121.
Yes. And, Peter, the best time to catch him is probably somewhere between 5 and 7 o'clock. He's out of his meetings, and that's when I've had the best luck to talk to him.
Yeah, I'll give him a call. Will do.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Thank you for the suggestion. And Bob, I appreciate you getting a hold of those Eric and George Eskridge and Eric Anderson, too.
Doesn't sound like there's opposition there. They're certainly alert to it.
This is how I read the board, and anybody wants to chime in, I don't know if this is the proper time. I figure we've got the three Democrats are going to vote for the plan that we sent over.
That's your assignment.
I got them covered then. Mark Gibbs, I believe, is going to be with us. I think Eric Anderson and George Estridge are going to be with us.
I've talked to both of them, and they will be with us.
Dale Raybould is going to be with us.
Hey, Roger.
Shut this one down.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is talk to the legislature through the legislative process. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be talking about individual contacts and who does what. I think that speculation is probably not a good idea to put on our public record. It's up to the legislatures to make their wishes known, not up to us to guess at what their wishes might be.
Okay.
I would probably concur with that as far as the public record's concerned.
Okay, so I guess if you have any legislators there that you know, you should discuss it. Is that better put?
Better put.
Okay.
It's Bob, Roger. I'm glad to hear that, because our legislators up here depend upon me to keep them informed of our activities. Not necessarily to politic one way or another, but to certainly let them know what the major works of the board is.
Okay. Does everybody know who's on that board? If you know anybody's on that board, then let's take that responsibility to make sure we discuss with them this issue if you feel so inclined to do. Any other comments? I have one other thing that if we were to make a motion that we recognize and respect the rights of the legislature to demand to reject this water plan, should we specifically come out and say that do we mention specifically in any motion that we make the legislative piece that we support? Does that make sense? Should we say that we support legislation or House Bill? What's the number of the one we entered in?
38.
Should we have a motion that states that?
Roger, this is Jeff. I think we approved House Bill 38 version of the state water plan, and we're on record as supporting that. It may be nice to reaffirm with the board, or the Resource Committee, the process that we went to that brought us to the point where we approved this plan.
Okay, any other thought on that? Does that have the same strength as reaffirming or going by motion? I guess we made a motion when we sent that to them.
Yeah, I'd certainly concur with Jeff. This is Pete on reaffirming the unanimous board support and the process, the public process we went through to arrive at it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Vince. I think that background is really important when you start making your comments at the forthcoming meeting. Given that background, including the hearings that we held in all the areas, so that they understand that this has been well thought out.
Okay. And if they were to ask me which plan we support, I assume I could then say that we support the plan that we've already approved and sent to the legislation.
That we submitted to them.
The 2012 plan is submitted.
Okay. Everybody comfortable with that? Any issues on that?
Well, I'd be a little disappointed, Roger, if you even thought there might be a question, because that is the board's plan.
Okay. Anything else we need to cover?
I don't know if it's necessary or not, but it looks to me like the water salmon part of that comes awful close to breaking the agreement that was made with the Nez Perce tribe.
Of the amended plan, Chuck, or our plan?
Plan.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Did he say the amended plan?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Ian, Clive, anybody, anything else that you think you'd like to discuss with us?
Nope.
I think we're good, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I guess with that, then we're ready. There's nothing else from anybody on the call. We're ready to adjourn from the meeting if there's a motion to do so.
Roger, this is Bert again. I'm going to be at the hearing there tomorrow. I've got an appointment tomorrow night with Speaker Denny, and so I'll be there with you tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate that.
Roger, this is Jeff. I just want to wish you good luck and once again, appreciate all the work staff's done on this in the last few weeks. And one follow-up, I did not get an email from you this morning.
Okay.
This is Bob. I did, but I suspect from the way this has gone, we won't need it.
Oh.
I agree. I'll have to check my email stuff Jeff and see if I'm getting stuff to you. I'll check with staff to make sure I got the right email address.
Okay. What are you checking, Mr. Chairman? Nor did I.
Okay. I'll make sure I got a current list on that. I apologize for that. One other thing I'd like to say, we are going to lose another staff person. Is that okay for me to tell them that, Brian?
Yeah, it's fine to say at this point.
Monica, who does our water bank, has accepted a new job, I believe, so she'll be leaving the department soon. So that's a big loss for us. We appreciate all she's done. She's been a great asset.
Well, Brian will have to pick up the slack.
We'll get it done. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well then, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
It's Bob. I so move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hey, Brian, if you'd stay on the phone, I'd like to, with that, we're adjourned. And, Brian, before you hang up, I got a couple questions I want to ask you.
Okay, sure.
Can I ask one question? Who seconded the motion?
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Good luck, Roger. You're doing great. Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
All right, everybody.
No. So, please.